Hey, everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And really, every news organization and headline across the world begins with the word Trump. Will be no different, I guess, George.
Trump. Oh, on and spun.
It won't be all about Trump, though.
No, we have a kicker. We have a kicker at the end.
Oh, this is one of those unspun episodes that you have to wait for it. Just wait for it. Wait till the end. You're not going to believe. Oh,
nice.
My.
Teasing.
I mean.
Teasing it.
Okay. Focus, Jody. Focus. Okay. Let's. We were trying to sort out, as we often do in our 3 minutes that we spend setting up for this podcast each and every Thursday, Unspun Podcast. Follow us along on social media. You can watch on YouTube, or you can just listen to us wherever you get your podcasts if you like listening to George and I. Get a lot of people coming up to me now saying they really like this podcast because they can kind of tune out a little bit from some of the chaos news because there's so much of it. So we had this like, where are we going to start? And we do have to start with the U.S. president because once again, we're in this... washing machine of, you know what, in the morning, we think we know what's going on. Mid-morning, it all changes. By early afternoon, it changes again. By the evening, it changes again. And by nighttime, it's all just a whole bunch of flood the zone chaos. So the journey with regard to tariffs, let's just start there. Supposed to come in on Tuesday. We have 25% tariffs coming in.
Or is it April? Or this morning is March. It was April. It's never. It's, when is it? We don't know.
It's the art of the deal. This is exactly what was in Donald Trump's book that was ghostwritten. But it's all about you just keep, because then people are like, you know what? Fine. 10%. Fine. Put in 10%. We're fine. Because we got 25% on everything starting tomorrow to like, you know, okay, we'll settle for something that would have been outrageous at the outset. It's kind of like what happens at City Hall with our property taxes. I mean, if we're going to unspin it, right? Well, it's 9%, but at least it's not 12. Okay.
So true.
So the impacts of this, let's take it to the legislature. What did you see happen at the legislature with the Conservative Party coming after the BC NDP, the BC Conservatives coming after the BC NDP about the legislation put on the table that says we oppose what Donald Trump is proposing?
I mean, this is like, I was in council in Vancouver for 7 years with this vision people who are basically NDP, who are now all these people are in Victoria. And this kind of motion, you know, agree or disagree with it, whatever, it doesn't matter. It corners people, right? It forces them to go along with a motion or a thing that will do nothing. It's meaningless, but it's meant to spin everybody in circles and to put, in this case, the conservatives into a corner. And this happened to me all the time. They would try to do this motion, you know, vision would bring in these things because they knew where I'd have to stand my ground on something because of the things I had said before. And I needed to speak for whatever that issue was and stand up to the stuff I believed in and what I believe people voted for me and my constituents. And so yesterday we had five MLAs who voted against this, you know, what is basically a public relations exercise, because they said, for the most part, and there was a column this morning from Rob
Von Palmer.
Rob Shaw. You sent it to me. Who talks Snaps. About? They're all, you know, all this. They're all jumping around. These five people finding reasons of why they've, you know, all this stuff. But it really does come down to, you know, you live in your neighborhood, you live in your community, you represent, for the most part, when you're an MLA, especially, or MP, the people who live in your area, and they're the ones who vote you in and out, for the most part. And so these five, except for Dallas Brody, who's in Dunbar, I would say is probably pushing it. But, you know, when you live up in the Northeast, or you live in Lake Country, you live in Chilliwack, I think there's probably a lot of people in at least a sense that these politicians have that there are supporters of Trump and supporters of what Trump is doing. I have friends in my Facebook. You probably do too. Post things and you see what happens. You know, people are saying it's bureaucracy, clean it up, you know, all that kind of mentality there. And that's certainly, it's ironic because it's things I've actually said in the past in my political life, saying
yeah, smaller
there's too
government.
Much bureaucracy. We need to clean up. It's how you do it is the question. And we'll get to that in the end regarding something else.
Can I jump in just right there?
Yeah, because so it's just, this is finding their way out of this has been challenging. They've been cornered. There's no win for them, really, except maybe with the supporters in the towns that they live in, the cities or neighborhoods they live in or communities they live in that are 100% supportive of them.
Right. So the spin here is it's kind of a gotcha moment, yeah. Right? To unspin it is like, well, a bit of a trap. That's what you had said. It's yeah, a political, 100%. Performative political trap. And then Premier David Eby, you know, after the session, took to the microphone and was like, really, that's what we're doing now? And I think there's some Canadians, I think that's why we're seeing the Ipsos polls. And obviously David Eby is not a federal Liberal, but I think that's why the polls are so showing some Canadians shift away from the conservative rhetoric that just is like, I'm never giving up my spot. And I believe that, like,
but we're
going to unite and look south. And that, right or wrong, like the political partisanship and gamespersonship and all that will come back if ever we get back to some semblance of normalcy. Seems like that's gone out the window. But the polls are showing what nobody could have predicted, that recent Ipsos poll from yesterday, or was it the mm-hmm. day before, that shows that the federal Liberals are now leading in the polling at 39% versus 36% for Pierre Poilievre's Conservatives, mm-hmm. which just like 4 months ago, they had 30 points on the Liberals. Like it's shocking how this shift has happened. So it feels like the five people are, you know, still I'm here for my constituents, aren't reading the room very well. True. And that's something that I think David Eby is using to his advantage, as he's a very adept politician in that regard. Yes. He is, you know, well spoken. And so I'm trying to take the spin out of it a little bit. I'm speaking to you people in Chilliwack and Lake Country. I mean, we can fight about all that stuff later as Canadians, but right now we all have a single target, and that has to be, you know, pushing back on the threat from the US, and that is going to unite our country in a good way, I think.
100%. But this initiative, along with some stuff that has been said about the First Nations and the residential school stuff.
Oh my God.
NDP are really trying to make sure they completely destroy the Conservatives and divide and conquer. And it's working really, really well right now because they are looking so messed up, so divided on so many issues, whether it be residential schools, whether now on Trump, because you saw Peter Miliband from Kamloops saying, my wife is First Nations, my kids. It's like, I promised I would never, you know, betray them. And so he's, you know, came out on this and basically speaking against what Dallas Brody's saying. And then now
I can't
this
believe
issue
that our Dallas Brody is still saying this stuff. Like, shame. My unspun on this is shame on you. Shame on you. Like that we don't call it out
First
for
Nations in her riding. I mean, one big one, but they have a big development in her riding, all with all three First Nations involved, and she's saying these kinds of things. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It is. And calling it out here on Unspun, I think, is very important because everybody's got a seat at the table when it comes to having an opinion. That racist trope, that disgusting twist on the history of this country it's not on. There is a line. There are lines, and they're serious. And that, I think we're missing some of those in just how chaotic things are right now. So the chaos that has been created by the polarization of politics, the Trumpism, what do we want to call it? Like it started before Trump, and he's just a figurehead for it. We've discussed that before. But here we are in a time where Justin Trudeau.
Even when I was first elected in 2011, the pressure on me as a politician within sort of the center-right movement at that time, that was so heavy for me to go full populist kind of style.
Right.
And you've seen a couple of politicians and some of them who took over the party that I was a part of go that route, and look what happened. They were completely destroyed. I just don't think people in the end put up with it. And we'll see what happens in the US, but I'm hopeful that that in the end, they'll come to their senses. You know, I'm not speaking for or against the federal conservatives. There's a lot of, clearly the federal Liberals, 10 years in power, you know, but now with all this other stuff, you know, it's really a hard campaign.
So let me tee that up. Let me tee that up. Okay. That's exactly where I was going with all of that stuff that you just said. Has set up the federal Liberals from going from 30 points down with Pierre Poilievre, just axe the tax and we're broken and our country is, you know, dead without me. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but his hard line has been, we're already broken and we will never recover unless I'm elected to the prime minister's office. With the chaos of somebody who has been saying pretty much that south of the border, Poilievre liked to pick and choose some of the Trumpisms that he would let sort of slide in, but he wasn't full Trump, to be fair. I haven't heard a great deal of policy from him. However, we weren't in an election cycle yet. So when Justin Trudeau, the wildly unpopular Justin Trudeau, our current prime minister on his way out, I don't think I've ever experienced in my 57 years on this planet just how unpopular he became at every
highest highs to lowest.
Oh my God. But it didn't matter where I went. And I move in some fairly moderate centrist liberal-ish circles. And they were all like, this guy, like, it was, woo, okay. And so he announces that he's leaving. Chrystia Freeland, Mark Carney, the front runners to replace him. I watched the French debate. I watched the English language debate. And it was it's really fascinating to watch them and then see the polling that we were talking about off the top and the shift. I mean, can you take the spin out of the shift we've seen in the federal political landscape just in the last couple of weeks? It proves your point that 2 weeks is a lifetime in politics.
Yes, that's right. Nobody could have seen the chaos that Trump has brought to the campaign here. I think, you know, the messaging that Canada is broken is absolutely the wrong messaging now, as I think the Conservatives know that. They still have a strong argument that fiscal competence is a problem. Carney perhaps can solve that politically. Whether he can actually solve it, I mean, is the question. But, you know, that they have overspent, COVID obviously being a big part of that. And, you know, this whole, you and I have talked about getting to this conversation, you know, hindsight's 2020, everybody, like, come on, if you take us back time for when COVID started and we didn't know what was going to happen. Any decisions that were being made were basically people just making up shit as they went along. Like, it's impossible to govern.
Because they thought everybody might die. Like, everybody might die.
Of course, we all,
we need to keep you guys safe.
Like, I, you know, it was ridiculous. Like, we were so scared and people forget that. It really bugs me when people forget how scared
they were. You know what? That's a really good point, George. I think we need to sit in that for just 1 second as people are screaming across the bow of everything. It's like, we didn't know. We didn't know. And even then, getting the vaccine that allowed us to turn the corner and come out of it, it was still 4 years of chaos and fear and overspending. 4 years of just trying to recover from that. That's not typical governance.
No. So you had that right in the middle of their kind of their period of time. I mean, liberals are, they like to spend money. So, you know, but although Jean Chrétien was really tight with his cash, and as a result, we are in this housing and homeless problem now because they got rid of all the housing programs. This is the liberals in the early 90s, everybody got rid of the housing program and all the institutions in BC, NDP got rid of them, all these things. So we've talked about this. So, and, you know, we have a party now that is having a resurgence in part because of something that's happening somewhere else. But and the question we are asking ourselves, and I think, and I talked about this last week, Quebec is a big player in this. And the NDP supporters are going, well, I'm an NDPer, but I don't want to waste my vote. Like, that's sometimes people willingly waste their vote on the NDP. This time, I think they're going, this is not the time to waste a vote. So
or stay home, because that's what we learned south of the border. Because the almost equal numbers stayed home in that last election, you know, and Donald Trump won by 0.01%.
So mad, that kind of stuff. People not voting makes me so mad.
I'm with you. So just we won't know. I mean, the voting has started within the Liberal Party. Do you anticipate it is Mark Carney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Chrystia Freeland, Ontario's election, which will be interesting, is a bellwether of the conservative movement, although Doug Ford has been basically not a conservative for the last few months.
Right.
You know, he's gone into, he certainly, there's a guy, I would be surprised if he loses. I don't think he will. You know, that there's a guy who understands the pulse of a province at the moment that he needs to. People hate him a lot, but then you know, his decisions he it's interesting to look at his history and how he's managed to do things really quickly, like removing the reduce, whether you like it or not, the reducing the council in Toronto down from like whatever hundreds it was. These kind of decisions are not easy. We're looking at that issue in BC with the park board, and what's happening with that? Like, is it dead? We don't know what's happened. Now there's a lawsuit. Meanwhile,
people are just getting paid still on the on the taxpayers' dime. So we'll update on the Doug Ford situation on next week's podcast for sure. I do want to acknowledge what happened in Manitoba yesterday and the finding of human remains in that landfill. Wabkanoo, the premier of Manitoba, sort of laying out what happened there and not going deeply in it, but for the families and for the peoples, really, for the Indigenous peoples who are you know, demanding that a serial killer's, you know, dumping ground be searched. It took a lot to get there. And here we are, and the remains. Can you imagine if that was you?
No, and I think this goes back to our point about Dallas Brody. You know, these things are happening. We know what happened in the residential school was not good. Well, you know, the body issue is what are we supposed to not investigate this stuff? Like, what are we supposed to not spend the money and do this? I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay, maybe you didn't get the results that we thought we might or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can't not do it. You can't not investigate. Like, are you kidding me? This is like fake information. Come on, based on the history of the residential schools in Canada, any flag that's raised about anything needs to be deeply investigated. Otherwise, what are we doing? I mean, how can we let this go by? When you talk about reconciliation, that's what it is. It's not apologizing. It's you know, it's really just saying let's find a solution or the answers or so that we can move forward together. This is the problem with this ranting about spending money on investigating whether or not there are real bodies or not. The conclusion was not where we thought it was, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It was the process that we have to go through in order to reconcile with the things that we've done as a nation. And right now we're going through this whole Trump thing and things are moving fast now and decisions are changing. In some ways, things that I have said I've supported, like pipelines, we need prosperity. As a country, I've talked about this, and as a politician, I took a lot of heat for this, saying it's not one. In order to be prosperous, we have to embrace all the other things that make our country prosperous. Which I'm sorry, is our oil, our gas, our all of that
natural
stuff.
Resources.
Without it, we're bankrupt. So now that's speeding ahead quickly because finally we go, okay, well, now we have this information. If we don't have this, we're in big trouble. And so I guess that's one thing Trump's given us.
Let's bring it back to BC and go hyperlocal with city council. I mean,
so we're not going to talk about Trump. Yeah. This is our pivot that we were talking. We were just teasing you on.
Did you feel it? Ooh.
I think
can we start something with Rebecca Bly though? Because you I didn't.
Yeah. I got sent the clip by one of our favorite fans, George, fellow George.
Hi, George.
Hey, George. So the clip was Rebecca's closing argument last night about the, in short, and you'll talk a bit more about it, this Downtown East Side community plan, I guess that's the way I would describe it. I talked about it last week, but this should have started 4 years ago. It should have been consultative, all that. She was basically saying, she literally read from their ABC's, for those who don't know, Rebecca was given the boot out of ABC. In Vancouver, we have a political parties. ABC dominated the political election last time. They had
majority, park board, super majority,
board and council, super yeah. majority,
and park board,
and they've lost almost all their majorities, and they kicked out Rebecca in part because of things she was saying, but specifically last night she was talking about this motion is on the table, which was basically talking about the Downtown East Side that we need to pause and about housing, and
they're cleaning it up.
She was saying, here's what we said in our ABC documents when we ran for office. And I still believe in that. And it was basically saying we're together. We can't let underprivileged or people who are in core need, blah, blah, blah. Like, we promised we wouldn't forget these people. What we're doing today is forgetting these people. So that's why I can't support this, blah, blah, blah. So then after that, I think, because I didn't watch the very end, my guess is, because now you're going to jump in, something happened and they probably, they decided this motion that was on the floor was probably went too far. There were 90 something speakers against it, nobody in favor of it. They clearly put an amendment on the floor, which then you got a press release this morning which I
think I got a press release.
It's classic. Yeah. Classic.
It is. I got it yesterday and it rolled through my inbox and I always read the things that come in, right? As you do. The press release is titled Vancouver City Council passes motion to prioritize supportive housing renewal and regional equity. I'm like, okay, you know, aren't we already doing that?
Okay.
I kind of was like, oh, thank God. I was very like, oh, how much did this press release cost? How many man hours were spent in a room talking about maybe doing things that we'll talk about again in future before talking?
Communication staff. Right?
Anyway, Vancouver City Council passes motion to prioritize supportive housing renewal and regional equity. Vancouver, BC. Today, Vancouver City Council passed Mayor Ken Sims' motion to temporarily pause net new supportive housing investments in the city, shifting the focus to renewing aging, deteriorating stock, transitioning temporary modular housing into permanent homes, and advocating for a fairer regional approach to housing those in need. Quote, for too long, Vancouver has shouldered more than its fair share of region's supportive housing, yet conditions in the downtown east side continue to deteriorate, said Mayor Ken Sim. The current system isn't working, not for our most vulnerable residents, not for the communities supporting them, and not for the city as a whole. We fully support well-run supportive housing. This motion is about making sure supportive housing works for those who need it most while ensuring better outcomes for everyone. This is the world's longest press release. It goes on and on and on. And in the second to last paragraph, it reads, the temporary pause does not apply to housing for seniors, women, and families, youth aging out of care, healthcare-related housing, or social housing with occasional supports. It also does not impact in-progress projects, applications submitted within 6 months of the motion's passage, or initiatives replacing existing units. I feel like it's a disclaimer at the bottom of a pharmaceutical ad.
I was going to say that. That's exactly what it's like. You read it like that, too. That was good. A little faster.
Okay.
You got it pretty fast.
The temporary pause does not apply to housing for seniors, women, families, youth aging into care, healthcare, related housing, or hoses.
I mean, and it's the like, fact that I was plopped at the end. It was plopped at the end of the press release. So there was an addendum that happened. They plop it at the end. It just basically makes the whole point of the whole thing redundant and non-vote. They basically should have just said, clearly everybody hates this, let's not do it. But instead, they said, but let's just not make it apply to anybody. That's so stupid. It's
unbelievable.
I don't know how Rebecca would have voted. I didn't see how she voted on that in the end, because it'd be interesting, because then what do you do? Because, you know, that's the conundrum of these things when you're in the council, is they'll put this crap motion forward and then they'll make these amendments and you're so confused. You know, like, what are we voting on now? Like, because everybody's adding these other amendments on an amendment on an amendment on an and so it's you end up going with this garbage motion. You're like, what are we voting on anymore? Can we just vote against this and send it back and come back with something better? That's what I would always say. I'm not going to vote for this because I don't even know what it is. It's like a Frankenstein's monster motion. I don't want anything to do with this thing. And people, oh, you're voting against, you know, exactly what we were talking about earlier. Oh, you're against, you know, you want to be you're a murderer. I got called once for voting against something. I'm a murderer for voting against. I don't even know what I'm voting against or for. How can you, as in your role as the governors of our city, support something that makes absolutely no sense? Absolutely no sense. And that is what that thing was. That is bullshit.
Honestly. It just, you know what frustrates me? To take the spin out of all of it, take the subject matter out of it, is what I said off the hop there of the human being hours that were spent to create another document that doesn't help a single solitary person in need. That's the part that leads back to, and I think feeds into what was the top of our conversation, which is the bureaucracy, you know, at so many levels of government. I'll flip the script here. And one of the big news stories today was about physicians across the country, you know, just pleading with government to remove the administrative waste, the duplication of work that every doctor must do that is so outdated. They could see double the patients if they remove the administrative Because every doctor, every physician really needs to run their own business while also being a doctor, which is ridiculous. Not to mention the ridiculousness of having 15 countries within our country because of the provincial and territorial borders. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? Why don't we stop the madness?
Saskatchewan announced yesterday that they're, for pipelines specifically, you can build any pipeline you want, sort now north, east, south, whatever you want. We've got rid
come
of
come on through
process. No process.
Right. Come on through.
You know, that's interesting.
It's going to piss people off, but there's still federal oversight to that, right? Like you can't build a pipeline, even if your province says, sure,
you need to engage.
The federal government needs to look at it. But I think what, and interestingly enough, it was a conversation that was had in French during the debate that I watched that Mark Carney addressed, I thought rather astutely, when people scream that the Liberal government would stop any pipelines because of the federal oversight, as Carney was like, the reason there's federal oversight specific to this in an emergency way is so that red tape can be removed, which nobody looks at because we're so tribal about our politics right now. The one thing about Mark Carney that I think has Canadians really interested in and engaged with is the fact that he did navigate our country through the crash in 2008 and 2009 that came with it as the head of the Bank of Canada. He's been the Bank of England. He has continues to run until now, because he's never been an elected official, financially successful and ethical companies, it would appear. And the fact that conservatives right now, the federal conservatives attack ads are already out. They've decided Carney's going to be the one they go up against, which is interesting. But the attack ads are about his successes at the corporate level and then saying, why hasn't he divested himself of the corporate? Da, da, da. And it's like, bro, you still haven't had a security check. Okay. So, I mean,
well, and I'm sorry, but generally conservatives, aren't they supportive of people successful in the business sector?
Confusing. Thank you, George. Thank you, George Affleck.
To me, this election, the federal election coming up, which is going to probably happen in May, you know, is going to be about, you just need to look at your local person. Can we just look at the candidates running here locally? I don't even know if I can handle this national and international questions. I'm just going to go, who's the best person for the job? Like, in my town,
totally,
that's going to fight for the stuff that I care about. And obviously Vancouver, you know, we have quite a diverse mixture of people, NDP, conservative, and liberals. So it's as representative, Vancouver is actually a microcosm of what happens in Ottawa.
So, and ultimately, sadly, BC has very little say in who is in the prime minister's office. So what we need to do is act hyper locally. And this press release, I'm so disappointed to yet again be disappointed with.
Can I rewrite that press release?
Yes.
Here's what
George Affleck runs for Vancouver mayor.
Has decided to reverse his decision on whatever the hell that was, and get more and work closer with the community. That's what it should have been. Like, you know what? I'm going to pull this off the table and let's start fresh. That's what he would.
Yeah,
He would have done that.
Where was the promise of practicality here?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Where is the, you know what we're going to do? We can't fix everything, so we're going to start by fixing just this.
Yeah, this is out of vision playbook, this one. And here's a guy who said he wasn't going to be like that, and he's being like that. It's just like, dude, you should have put a motion forward about the downtown estate on the first day you got elected, and let's fix it. If you wanted to fix it, first motion on the table would have been that. At this point, we would have a community plan that everybody would have buy-in, and we could start implementing it so that by the end of next year, when he runs for office again, he can say, I did that. What are we going to say now that Ken Sim did? I did what? I spent more money than any government in the history of Vancouver. Good job, buddy.
I can't swim in my local pool. My taxes have gone up.
His own party hates him. Everybody hates him.
I don't see any improvement in, actually, I see it worsening when it comes to people with low income. I can't think of one thing. I'd like to think of one thing though, George. Like, I'm a mushy middle rainbows and unicorns person, and I can't find anything. That's a problem.
You know, you know how I feel about the park board. You and I, everybody knows how we feel about the park board. And so we were actually supportive of him saying, you know, maybe this is a good idea. But the process, not so good as it turns out. We thought probably had, you know, had buy-in with his own party. He didn't.
No,
Now
he
he's
didn't.
basically destroyed his own party because of that, because he got so distracted by something that he didn't need to do. And imagine what he could have done with the park board by this point with that super majority he had on park board. He could have
Imagine.
had the pool decision, which now is being pulled back again on it down in the West End, the 50-meter issue.
They've gone with 50 meters. That was
But
one
no, but
thing
they're
that's
going
come
back to the
through.
drawing board. So we're not
Oh,
going
yeah, they have to go back. It's
to,
going to
of
cost
course they
double.
do.
No kidding, it's going to cost double. It should put in a 75-meter pool, you bunch of.
That's what I said. 100-meter.
Right? Let's make it big. Let's fit
Exactly.
everybody in.
What are we doing here?
Okay, we got to go. We got to
Ugh.
go, George.
Ugh. Ugh. I thought we.
Therapy
Oh,
session over.
can we end positive?
Unspun.
What can we say? Positive.
Do you
Anything?
got anything? Got
Anything?
anything? It's almost spring.
It's warmer. It's warmer. Okay, let's go with that. Spring is springing.
You can find us on social media at George
Underscore. Oh,
underscore Affleck, at George underscore Affleck on Twitter. Everywhere else, he's just George Affleck. I am at Jody Vance everywhere. I did start a Substack when I was doing the Invictus Games thing. Did I mention that before? If
yes,
you
you
want to
did.
find me on my Substack, I'm at Van City Jody, at
Free.
Van City. I stole Ryan Reynolds' Van City thing because they didn't have Jody Vance. Was like Jody Vance 00963. I'm like, no, Van City Jody on Substack. I might do some more kind of like I did at the Orca. I might write my own
Yeah.
little middle. It won't be edited to the degree that it was edited before because I don't have the masterful touch of McLean K working with me. But yeah, might write a
We should
little
just
bit.
get ChatGPT to transcribe our podcast and then just put it up there.
Okay.
I'll send you
Okay.
the transcript from after the show.
Okay, do that. Do that. We'll put it on my Substack.
Okay.
100%. Okay. Peace out.
Bye bye.